Have your Bibles, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 17. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Many, many times you always enter us into the presence of God. We thank you for that. And thank you for all the work that goes on behind the scenes. And they do incredible. And we thank God for it. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one of free gift came upon all men justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but here's what I like: where sin abounds, grace did much more abound." That means what he did at Calvary is greater than any mistake that you've ever made. Can I tell you tonight that you're not too far gone? You might be far from home, but you're not that far. "Moreover, the law entered once, and the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto the eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." I want to talk to you tonight on this thought: break the curse. Turn to that person next to you and say, "You need to break the curse." Amen. If you believe that, clap your hands unto the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is upon the earth. In the beginning, he created mankind by forming him from the dust of the ground. And after he formed mankind, he then breathed into mankind the breath of life. And when he breathed into mankind the breath of life, at that moment, he became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says, "After he did that, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man, and he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Notice, the first thing that God does is he gives man a job. He puts him to work. Can I tell you, it's the will of God for men and women to go to work. I know that's not popular because we live in a society that everybody likes to feel entitled to everybody else taking care of them. But I'm telling you, the first thing that God did, he gave Adam a job. And after he gave Adam a job, it's good to work. I'm glad that our young people, some of our young people are working. I think it's a good thing to start working. Only crazy thing is when I first got a job, I got a job making $3 an hour. Minimum wage is at $12 an hour. How is that fair? But God gave Adam a job. And after he gives Adam a job, he then goes over the rule book in verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil shalt thou not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He gives him one command. And that one command was, stay away from the tree. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. What a cool job that'd be. You know, you look like a giraffe. You know, you look like a donkey. You look like a horse and so on. Everything that's named, Adam named every living creature. Bible says in verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Oh. And so in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and you got to be careful when God puts you to sleep. Because he put Adam to sleep, and he took one of his ribs. He woke up without a rib. But when he woke up, he looked out and he said, whoa, man. You'll get that in a little bit. And so Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Can I tell you tonight, God blessed Adam. God gave him everything that he needed. He gave him a job. He gave him a garden. He gave him dominion over everything that God created. He had food to eat. He had enough to drink. He had a wife. He was blessed by God. Do you realize that? God blessed Adam. And he gave everything to Adam that Adam needed to live. Can I just stop and tell you that that's the kind of God that you and I serve? We serve a God that is a giver. We serve a God that loves to give. We serve a God that loves to bless. We serve a God that loves to give good things to us. God loves to give good gifts to his children. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful because God wants to bless me and God wants to bless you. God wants to give you all of heaven's resources. Do you realize that today? God's not against you. God wants to form a partnership with you and God wants to bless you. Anybody want to be blessed of God? Can I tell you, God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Matthew 7:11, the word goes on. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give good things to them that ask of them? God wants to bless you. God desires to bless you. God loves you more than anybody else does. Can I tell you, he loves you. If you hear anything else that I say tonight, you need to understand you've got a friend in Jesus. And he loves you more than I love you. He loves you more than your family loves you. He loves you more than your friends love you. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He loves you. He desires you. And he wants to bless you. You ought to put your head back. You ought to put your shoulders back. And tomorrow at work, you ought to have a bigger smile on your face. And people say, what's up with you? I've got a God that loves me. I've got a daddy that thinks I'm the apple of his eye. I've got a God that cares about me. I've got a God that, guess what? He wants to talk to me. You may not want to talk to me, but God wants to talk to me because God loves me. You ought to sing that old Sunday school song, yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, sing that. You say, Pastor, I can't sing. Sing it anyways. Because God loves you. And he blessed Adam. He gave Adam everything he needed. Adam wanted for nothing. God took care of him. But there came a day when the serpent came to the kingdom or came to the garden. The Bible said that the serpent, you read it, he was more subtle than any other beast of the field, meaning he was more clever. He was shrewd. He was prudent. He was crafty. And notice, he came to the woman with a question to her, questioning God himself. Can I just tell you that the enemy loves to bring questions? Enemy loves to bring doubt. Enemy loves to bring confusion. That's what he likes to do. That's why the Bible said the carnal mind will never discern the things of the Spirit, meaning the carnal mind will never understand why you go to church. The carnal mind will never understand why you bring tithe and bring offering, why you give of your paycheck. The carnal mind never understands why do you pray? Why do you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and every, you know what I'm talking about? The carnal mind never understands that. But yet there's an enemy that loves to bring questions, to bring doubt, to bring confusion. And so he poses the question in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Can I tell you, the serpent knew the answer. He already knew the commandment from God, but he was crafty with his words to make her doubt the very commandments of God. You can't eat of every tree of the garden. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. You have to pay your tithe. That just doesn't make sense. You have to pray. You have to come to church. You have to listen to somebody preach to you what your flesh doesn't like. You have to miss watching the Super Bowl. I had a lot of people call me last Sunday and say, Pastor, are we having church tonight? It's Super Bowl. And I was like, you know, I sure would hate, even if it was my favorite team, I would sure hate to be watching a football game when God came back. I sure would be hate to be have some worldly amusements capture my time when God comes back. I'm not telling you watching a football game is going to bring you to hell. I'm not telling you worldly amusements going to bring you from hell. But if it keeps you from missing the house of God, if it goes above God, it may become an idol. And if it's an idol, it becomes sin. And sin and God don't dwell together. So I've made up my mind, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not, I'm coming to the house of God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to bring offerings to God. But that doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. Hath God really said you can't eat of it? So he causes what? A conversation with her. He engages with her without even knowing his intention. It's almost like going to the malls. I don't know if this ever has happened to you, but I know many times I go to the mall, whether it's in Tulare. Usually the one that really gets us is when we go to Vegas for my wife's birthday celebration, and we're not the normal Vegas people. We don't go gamble. She shops, and I don't like to shop. But I know her love language is quality time. So I'll sit in stores and I'll just be on my phone. And I'll just follow her around. I'll just kind of, whatever she, I'm like her puppy dog. And then I turn from a puppy dog to a mule because I'm carrying all this stuff. But it seems like they're out on attack in Vegas. You walk through the mall and they've got kiosks of people selling their stuff. Now, you don't go to the mall because you know the kiosk is going to be there. So people, when they go to the mall, they go to a certain store, and that's where they go. If I'm going to go to somewhere, I just go there. And so the kiosk people know that. And so what the kiosk people do, they try to ask a question. Hey, where are you from? Hey, nice shoes. Hey, I love what you're wearing. Can I tell you, they don't like me. They could care less where I'm from. They don't like my shoes. They don't like my hairstyle. They don't like anything about me. They just want me to stop. Because if they could get me to stop, they've engaged now. And now they're engaged, they can sell me a product. Matter of fact, we went to one and they said, hey, you've got some bags under your eyes. You think that's going to get me to stop? Matter of fact, that makes me mad. I put some cream on and they go away. I said, you know what? You are going to go away. Bye-bye. Many times my kids even know because I just walk by. I made one person so mad. I think it was downtown L.A. And I don't even know what he's selling. But I remember I just said, you know what? Trying to quit, no thank you. And he got so mad that I didn't even engage with him. I just said, sorry. And he just started following me. And I was like, what's going on? He said, hey, I'm just trying to make a living. I said, well, good. I'm not buying. But people will try their best to stop and talk with you and have a conversation with you. And that's what the serpent did. The serpent got her talking. The serpent got her to stop right by the tree. Can I tell you, we better be careful who we commune with. We better be careful who we spend our time with. Because it truly does matter who we engage with. It matters who we spend time with. I'm telling you, it matters who we hang out with. And so she replies, though. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I'm not a huge theologian, but God never told Adam not to touch it. Now, it's a good idea not to touch it. It's a good idea not to get touched close to it, but he never instructed them not to touch it. He said, only of the tree of the garden, do not eat it. That's my number one. That's my only rule. I'm giving you everything you need. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that thou eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. The very thing that the devil wanted to be, the very thing that caused the first church split in heaven. He took a third of the angels, the very thing that got him flicked out of heaven was, I want to be like God. That's what he wanted to be. He wanted to see like God. Your eyes will be open. You will be a God. He paints that picture. He has engaged with her, causing her to question the commandments of God. If you eat this, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be like a God, and you'll be able to know between good and evil. All you have to do is to partake of the forbidden. All you have to do is go against the commandments of God, because listen, it won't hurt you. It won't kill you. It won't harm you. Just take a bite. That's what the devil wants. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't care anything about you. There is one word on every one of you that is implanted on you that the devil sees when he puts on his glasses. He sees one word, and that's revenge. He knows he'll never be able to partake of what you're partaking of. He knows he'll never be able to enjoy the pleasures of heaven. He'll never be able to know love, joy, and peace. He knows his eternal destination. And he's trying to get everybody else turned around sideways, wanting them to go to the same place that he's there. But he got her engaged. And the Bible says in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What were you thinking? You had it all. And the Bible said, when that happened, immediately, instantly, their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. They tried to cover it up. Can I tell you, you can't cover up sin. You can't lie your way out of it. You can't make up a story thinking it's going to get you out. When you play with sin, it'll cost you more than you wanted to spend. It'll take you further than you wanted to go. And it'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. You'll never be able to cover up sin. They tried. And when they did, immediately it happened. And in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what'd they do? They tried to hide themselves from God. They heard the voice of the Lord walking through the garden, and they hid themselves from the presence of the God. And the Lord God called unto Abram and said to him, where art thou? Can I tell you, God knew exactly where they were. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is omnipotent. He knows everything. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, well, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou that should not eat? And the man said, the woman. That's a great line. Can I tell you? The blame game did not start with you. It did not start with your spouse, your family members, your crazy uncle. The blame game started in the garden. The Lord said, what happened? He said, it was the woman. You put me to sleep. You took my rib. I told you not to put me to sleep. You gave me this woman. And so he starts playing the blame game. It was the woman. She was the one that gave it to me. It wasn't my fault. It was her fault. I'm telling you, I counsel with a lot of people, and it's back to back. Well, they did. She did that, and she said that, and he went. I'm like, stop. Let's get to the real issue. Because the issue you're talking about is not really the issue. The problem was not the woman. The problem was you disobeying the commandments of God. Come on, Adam. You were standing right next to her in the garden. You were the one that God gave the commandment to. You were the one that God says you could have everything. You've got dominion. But you were the one that stayed quiet. And there is a danger in being quiet. There is a danger when good people say nothing over enemies approaching. And he stood there and took it. And he blames the woman. It wasn't the woman's fault. It was the man's fault. Because God gave man the commandment. I know she engaged with that serpent, but you should have never let her be engaged with that serpent. You should never let her go to that tree. You should never have got herself involved in that situation. I'm going to tell you, we can't stay quiet. We can't sit back there and try to be politically correct. This world has a philosophy that we should all just get together and love one another. That's what the world wants to do. It wants us to embrace their worldliness and their perverted ways. Well, I don't think there's a God that really, yes, he does care about you. Well, can we? No, we can't get all along. If you don't follow the word of God, he said, listen, today I stand before you, blessings and curse. Blessings if you obey the voice of God, and a curse if you disobey. God didn't choose it for you. You chose it for yourself. And we need men and with women that'll stand up in an untoward generation and look the devil and the adversary in the world and put our shoulders back and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to have men and women that'll stand up for truth and stand up for godly living. We got to have people that say, no, 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 not on my watch, not in my home. We ain't going to act that way. We don't have a carnal home. We're going to have a spiritual home. Can I just stop and pause a little bit and just tell you the church can't save your home. Church can't save your family. It can't save your kids. If you have a different sound going from your home than what the church sound is. But if you'll embrace the sound of the church and you'll put it to work in your home and you say, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. If we get some men and women that'll make up their mind, I'm gonna live right, I'm gonna act right, I'm gonna dress right, I'm gonna live for God. We can't afford to just come to church and do our dance here and go out there and live like the world. You can't serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other. But we've got to have men and women that'll say, you know what? I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand up for truth. Be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. I'm going to tell you, God loves everybody, and we love everybody, but we don't love the sin. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I get out of the word, can I just say, ALC, listen to me, listen to Pastor. If I get out of the word, don't follow me. If I preach a gospel that we have not been given, I preach another gospel, let that gospel be cursed. But if I preach the word of God, I need men and women that'll stand behind the word of God and say, I believe it, Pastor. Preach it to me, Pastor. It may not feel good. It may not sound good. But preach it to me, Pastor. Give me the word of God. We've got to get behind the word of God. Well, I don't like that. I don't like what old pastor's talking about. Yeah. You have to bring your offering, you have to pay your tithe. You ain't paying your tithe, you're bringing your tithe. Tithe don't belong to you. Oh, Pastor, talking about his money. What? Jesus talked three times more. Listen, Jesus talked three times more about money than he did about heaven or hell. Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And God's saying, if I don't have this, I don't have you. And you get mad at the preacher because the preacher's talking about tithe and offering? It's not my words. It's the word of God. You get mad at pastor because pastor says we got to love people? Well, that's what his word says. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you have love one to another. Don't get mad at pastor when I talk about one God because there's only one God. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Don't get mad at pastor when I say what you got to do to be saved is you got to repent in Jesus' name, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the word of God. It's not my words. It's God's words. But Eve continues to play the blame game just as Adam did. God looks at Eve and said, "What's up, Eve?" And she said, "Well, serpent, you know." Cool thing, she didn't point back to her man. Say, "Well, it's him. He didn't teach me the way he should have taught me. He taught me a watered down version." She went to the serpent. And so you read it, God looks down at the serpent and he starts throwing it down. He starts throwing how his curse is going to be. And he throws a curse on us. See, there's something about God. God loves every one of us. Bible says something in Isaiah that hell hath enlarged herself. Right? Hell's in a building program. I've got a question for you. Angels don't reproduce angels. The only reproduction is mankind. And if angels don't reproduce, and we know a third of the angels fail as Lucifer failed, got kicked out of heaven, got evicted because they didn't want to live for God. I'm going to tell you, you could have your way, but it's going to be the highway. It's going to be the wrong way. For broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there go in at. But you got to make up your mind. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to get my nose in this book. I'm going to believe the words of the Lord. I understand the curse that comes on me. I can't help that. I can't help what Adam did. Do you realize everybody, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Somebody shout all sin. Somebody shout like you believe it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of you were born a sinner because of your father by the name of Adam. And can I tell you that even because God kicked Adam out of the garden, God never stopped loving Adam. Even though Adam disobeyed, even though Adam chose not to follow after that commandment, God still loved him. And he still loves you. But I'm telling you, just because God loves us, it's not enough. Because we've got to deal with a curse issue. We've got to deal with a curse that was brought against us. I did not create the curse. Adam created the curse. And you can't blame anybody else for bad decisions. We don't teach kids how to be stingy. We don't teach people how to lie. It just comes natural. It's because of our sin nature. It's because of our actions. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's sin, many were made sinners. Because of what Adam did. Because of Adam, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. We were all made sinners. We were all cursed with a curse because of him. Because the choice he made. Because the decision he made. Yes, because of his actions, we were infected with a curse. Can I tell you, the choices and decisions you make, they don't just affect you, but they affect everybody else around you. I've seen a lot of people that have come to my office, and I've been here 22 years, and I've seen a lot. Sister Leek, you've seen a lot more than me. You've been here longer than I have. But I've seen a lot of families that have got messed up for one thing or another, that didn't believe just, you know, what the scriptures was saying, and they got out. And then I see them, you know, years later, and they may look like they're okay, but I see their whole family demolished. The choices you make, they don't just affect you, but they affect everybody else around you. And that's what happened with Adam. Because of what he did, Adam brought death. Adam brought disease. You want to know why people die? It's because of Adam. Because he disobeyed God. You know why sin happens? It's because of Adam. Heartache and pain and guilt and depression, loneliness and discouragement, murder, and on and on and on. We've all been affected by his choice. No hope, no life, no purpose, no communion with God, for by one man's sin, many were made sinners. But thank God, Brother McIntosh, it didn't stop there. But by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. By the obedience of Jesus Christ, by what he did for us. Can I tell you what he did? He took the shame. He took the pain. He took the sin. He took the curse. The Bible said he took all the sins of mankind upon himself. Why? Because he made a way out for us. He made a way of escape. Romans 1:18 says it like this. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by what? Traditions of your fathers. There's a lot of people that are messed up because of their fathers and because of generations. Well, I'm the way I am because my daddy. You know, I'm a drunk because my daddy was a drunk. I'm a drug addict because my daddy was. No, you know what? You can break it off. Well, you know, my daddy beat me. I'm going to beat my kids. You know, my daddy was angry. I'm going to be angry. Nobody gave me forgiveness. I ain't going to forgive anybody. That's the curse. You can't blame it on anybody else. God is telling you right now, I know you didn't start out right. I know Adam didn't do everything right. But right now, because of what I did, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. God is saying, your past, your failures, your mistakes, Jesus says, I can cover them with my blood. I can wash you whiter than snow. I can make a way out for you. Now, your fathers can't do that. Philosophies can't do it. But he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, he paid it all. He redeemed us that we might have life. We have power, Brother Roy, to break the curse. We have power to change our past. We have power to turn our families around. We have power to turn our homes into a godly home. I know it hasn't been a godly home, but I've got the power to change it today. I've got the power to turn my marriage around. I've got the power to break the curse of future generations. I know I wasn't that lucky, but I've got kids now and they're dependent on dad. I didn't get what they had. And woe be unto me if I said, I don't need this. I don't need a preacher. I'm done, Brother Alex. I don't need a pastor. Come on, let's get out of here. Everybody in here is a bunch of hypocrites. Look at them. They don't even love God. They just dress up. Just get out of here. You know what? He's always on my case. Always tell me I need to pray. Always tell me I need to fast. I don't want to fast. I want to get out of here. And my choices. I'm leaving. He's following. And we're going out to exit. Red exit. Preacher's preaching too long. I got to hurry up and go to my eternal destination. You spend your hours on so many different things, and yet you can't sit there for 30, 45 minutes to hear a message. You look at your watch and you look at your time. The choices I make, they affect my kids and future generations to come. You say, Pastor, I wasn't that lucky. I wasn't that fortunate. Today's a new day. You can break the curse. You can give what you never received. I say it all the time that I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to feel what I feel. I have a mother that never, Brother McIntosh, she's an incredible woman. Everybody knows my mother. I think she's barely 5 foot. I don't think she's even taller than 5 foot. She may be 4'11". I don't know. I think her shoe's like a 5 or a 4. She's small, but she's a lover. She loves on everybody. She never got love growing up. And she's told me stuff. As her pastor, so I serve a dual role in my family's life. I'm son, I'm brother, I'm uncle, but I'm also their pastor. She shared some horrific things in her childhood. No doubt there's horrific things in your childhood. There's horrific things just a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, that have devastated and rocked your world. You could sit back there and say, I never got it. I ain't gonna give it out. My mom never found a man that loved her. One guy that she's been married four times, but her third husband, I believe he loved her, but he loved the bottle more. Loved to drink more than her. And to this day, they still stay in contact, but she never got love. But yet, you know what my mother gave me? She gave me love. Because she gave me what she never got. She didn't know what she was doing at the time, Sister Philpott. She was breaking a curse. Because you look in her generations. Look at her dad and his dad and his dad and on. A history of abuse. Never once do you hear the words, I love you. Never once do I hear the words, I'm proud of you. But my mother said, I'm going to break the curse. Single mom, taking care of three kids. Man, I lived on powdered milk, lived on cornflakes, lived on block cheese. You know what I'm talking about? Those cardboard block cheese. They were done with cheese. My mama let me use those to put my baseball cards in. I remember one time she told a story. I don't remember it. It may have been my evil twin, I don't know. But we never had Frosted Flakes or any sugary stuff because that's not what they gave us. You just lived at the mercies of the government. But she said one day I was in an alley eating a box of Fruit Loops. And her neighbor called her and said, hey, your son just took a box of Fruit Loops from my pantry. And he's eating them. First thing I stole, something my life, last thing I stole too. She put the fear of God in me. She even to this day, Brother McIntosh, most every time I talk to her, she's like, I'm so sorry. I was never able to buy you things, shoes, whatever it was. Always material things. And I spin it around quickly. I said, Mom, you don't understand. You're thinking of the physical, but you changed this guy. You changed my brother and you changed my sister. You broke a curse and you gave us love. And because you gave us love, I am able to love. There's a lot of people that can out-preach me, out-pastor me, out-administrate me, but I don't think there's a lot of people that can out-love me. As I love every one of you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you've said about me. I love you. I believe in you. Because there was a woman that believed in me. And you know why she was able to do it? Because there was a God that says, I'm coming right now to destroy that curse. That curse off your home. That curse off your family. That curse off your finances. There's a God that stepped out and said, I'm going to robe myself in flesh and I'm going to come and I'm going to offer myself to the fact that he was nailed to the cross. Everybody around was yelling, crucify, crucify. He's worthy of death. In the darkest moment of his life, Father, forgive them, for they know not what he did it all for you. How dare you say, nobody loves me, nobody believes in me. There is a God that believes in you. There is a God that loves you. There's a God that gave his life for you. There's a God that broke the curse. And we've got to forget about our past, as we can't change yesterday. But we got to run to Him, Brother Calvillo. We got to put Him first in our home, put Him first in our family. If you put God first, that's why He even talks about first fruits. If you put Him first in the stuff that really doesn't matter, He can bless you. Because if you can give Him that, guess what? You can give Him you, as He's looking for you. And when you give Him you, you raise up kids. You raise up a family. And we're getting ready to baptize you in Jesus' name. And I'm so excited, because what we're going to do is we're going to break that curse. There's a curse on you. Curse on all of us. There was a curse on me, but I went down in baptism. Bible said, buried with Him. I died with Him in baptism. And when I came up, He said, behold, old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Through Him, through that, He's able to break that curse. I challenge every one of you under the sound of my voice tonight. You have the power tonight to break the curse. You have the power to live for God. You have the power to turn things around. Why don't you stand to your feet with me tonight? Why don't you raise your hands and raise your voice to Heaven? And why don't you love Him? Why don't you thank Him? Why don't you run to Him? He paid it all. Jesus, I love you. He paid it all.
Because you came.
I love you, Jesus.
I couldn't imagine.
I love you, Jesus. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this.
Jesus,
but thank you for loving me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for forgiving me. Oh, why don't you step out of your pew? Why don't you make your way down to this altar? And why don't you make commitments as you begin to step? God, I'm going to live for you, God. I'm going to turn some things around, God. I'm going to break the curse tonight because you paid it all. Come on. There's a God that believes in you. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that's for you.
I love you.
Yes.
Because you care.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Raise your hands and raise your voice. Come on, connect with Him. He loves you. He desires you. Let Him break some things off your home. Let Him break some things off your marriage. Hallelujah. Come on, turn some things around. Make up your mind. I'm going to live for you, God. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love you.
Come on, lay your hand on somebody. Let's pray with one another. Come on, let's break this curse together. Let's break it together once and for all. I'm going to live for you, God.
Jesus, I love you, I love
you. Oh, I love you, Jesus.
Jesus, I love you, I love you.
I love you, I love
you. Jesus, I love you.
Come on.
I love you.
He's stepping into your situation.
Because you care.
He designed this service for you.
Jesus, I love you, I love you.
He loves you. He loves you.
I love you, I love you.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
Jesus, I love you, I love you.
Hallelujah.
Because you care.
us, oh.
Jesus, I love you.
Oh, I love you. I love you.
Jesus, I love you. I love
you. Oh, yes, I do, God.
Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your mercy that endures forever.
Jesus, I love you.
I love you. Oh, I love you.
Jesus, I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
Jesus, I love you. I
come
love
on, that's it.
Because you
come
can.
On. Let him turn some things around.
Jesus, I love you.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Because you can.
Come on, God loves you.
Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you.